You know, when you call the bank, or the bank, probably limiting to banks is wrong. You call just about anything with an automated answering service these days, a big company, and you'll get this warning. Maybe not it's a warning, maybe it's a, I don't know, a community service announcement. They tell you always that this call may be monitored. Well, in the US, an Associated Press investigation uncovered that two of America's biggest retail banks are recording the biometric details of some callers' voices with a view to weeding out fraud. That's the stated aim. It's technology that's sometimes called voice printing. Just to give you some context, in the article, an analyst with technology firm Gartner estimated that by next year, 25 major US call centers will be using some form of voice print technology, five times as many as the last year. So it's growing. Is it here? We're not sure. But it certainly will be at some point in time. Now, the stated aim sounds perfectly fine. If there is an extra layer of protection that prevents people pretending to be you, well, that sounds great. But some people have raised concerns about what it means for privacy. Still Garian is our IT and all things security commentator. Still, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Will.
I'm interested in this one. I never knew what this call could be monitored meant. I kind of figured that at some point someone in a training shop might be saying, don't do this to this person in future. But obviously it's...
Well, that's part of it, yeah. That's an important part of it. And you'll often find in a call centre that particularly if someone is a new employee or the call center operator flags to their supervisor, uh-oh, we've got a problem here.
Yeah.
They'll often hit a little button and their supervisor will be listening in as well. And they're also recording it so that if you complain later, that you never told me there'd be a 30% price increase if I didn't pay by the end of the month, they can say, oh, yes, we did. Yes, we've got a recording of it. Now, they have to tell you they're doing that because... every state in Australia has some sort of act. In South Australia, it's the Listening and Surveillance Devices Act 1972, as amended. And basically, you can't record a telephone call unless you have the permission of the other party. Or you're a police officer and have a warrant, obviously.
Yeah.
You can do a telephone intercept.
Yeah.
But you can't just start recording phone calls willy-nilly. So that's just for them to cover themselves. And you can say you can't record it. But this whole voice printing thing is kind of different. And in your introduction, you mentioned the Associated Press had investigated American banks. My first reaction was, gosh, the Americans are behind Australia.
Oh, really?
Australia's four big banks all use voice print technology in some form or other. The NAB and Westpac have been using it since around 2009, 2010.
Huh.
And to throw another one into the pot, Centrelink have been using voice prints to ID the people calling in since 2005. And the tax office has been using it for some years too. So there's a difference between recording the whole phone call and just taking a voice print. Now, what might happen, you phone the tax office and they want to make sure they're talking to the right person. So it's not, you know, your spouse or your boss or some neighbour with a grudge phoning up to ask private information about your Centrelink file or your tax records or whatever. So when they say, can you just tell us your tax file number, say, that suddenly becomes a very precise and specific thing that you're going to say out loud.
Mm.
Same with your address, same with your date of birth. So it's very easy to see, okay, that's your tax file number, 3216, and they know what you're going to say. So it's different from when you phone, I don't know, a telco or a taxi company and they say, can you tell us what you want? That's voice recognition when they're trying to understand what is it that you're going to say. This is the reverse of that. They know what you're saying. They want to check to see whether it's you. And this is all covered when they say that this call may be monitored for training and quality control purposes. Well, the quality control in the case of a bank is, well, are we actually talking to the right person before they authorise $10,000 being transferred to a Swiss bank account?
Yeah. What, why the vague term then, quality control? Because banks typically like to promote security measures that they have in place, do they not?
You would, You would think that, and I'd be perfectly fine when they say, "Hey, this is for your security." That's fine. Or, you know, when you get a call or an email, as I've done a few quick transactions on the internet, and I'll get a call saying, "Hang on, we just blocked your card for a moment because there's some suspicious transactions. Can we talk about them?"
Mm.
And I'm going, "Yeah, of course we can. Thank you very much."
Yeah.
You know, and we have a chat, and it's all legit. Or, you know, I bounce into, travellers get hit by this all the time. You bounce into a foreign country, particularly in somewhere like Southeast Asia or Africa or Central America. You've forgotten to tell your bank. You suddenly start trying to take money out. And they go, nah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that. I love the fact that I might have just withdrawn money at Bangkok Airport, but as I turn away from the ATM, my phone rings. Hello, it's so-and-so bank security here. Where are you right now?
And I mean, that's heartening, isn't it?
They're doing their job.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, in long term, if someone pinches money from my account, the bank's got to cover that. And as we all know, the banks are running on very low margins and don't make any money at all.
That's right.
Poor things.
Yeah.
Look, but more seriously, obviously, they want to keep loss and fraud to a minimum. That's good for everyone. It's good for us. It's good for their shareholders. And you know, you mentioned privacy. Now, this voice print stuff, I don't see it as a privacy invasion at all.
Okay.
In fact, it's the opposite. It's making sure that when someone phones Centrelink or a bank or the tax office, that they are actually talking to the right person.
Mm. Yeah, I can't. I mean, I've seen those concerns raised, and people are, you know, they don't generally trust the benevolence of big business. But I mean, even if it was to be data that gets traded, personal data, I can't really see how it would be open to abuse.
No, I have trouble with this one as well. Now, all right, that's a logical fallacy. That's called the argument by personal ignorance. I mean, well, I can't think of any reason why.
Yeah, so there mustn't be one. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. No, let's not pretend that we're all geniuses all of the time about every subject in the universe. although politicians are, of course. We've got to forget they magically know about everything all at once. No, look, it's... You know, if they're trading in information such as where you were when you called, or, you know, where your car is, or who you've been talking to, and you start getting into those concerns of when this data is traded. And look, there is something that we should watch out for here, because what is often happening is that an organization may not install all of this technology in-house. They may have an external provider doing this, one of their partners, and then you start getting into this whole, you know, where their privacy policy says we share this information with partners who provide services to us, and it's always this vague term.
Yeah.
So who are these other businesses? And what happens is that you'll find that maybe that all of the voice print recognition is being done by a large contracting firm that also happens to do contracting for the US Department of Defense, which means also they're sharing information through, and that's where people's concerns start happening. Now the good news is that in most cases, my understanding is that they're certainly settling in the tax office would perhaps be sharing this with law enforcement when they suddenly go, hang on, we've just had a series of calls and the voice print isn't the right person, but we notice the voice print is always some other third party who we don't know who they are, and they're always trying to ask for money to be transferred or bank account details to be changed. By all means, tell the federal police that that's going on.
Yes.
And then the federal police can say, well, now we can go back to the telco and we know what phone number they were calling from. So then we call the telco, we get their metadata, as we've called that, you know, we've talked about before, and go, okay, well, who owns that phone? Where was it calling from when they made the call?
Yeah.
And we'll send some boys. Yeah, we'll send some boys and girls around with Glocks to sort that out.
Yeah.
So that's where it is. And I think one of the best things about this, Australia is actually a world leader in this technology.
I was not aware. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
We've been quietly doing it. As I say, Centrelink have been doing it for 9 years.
Incredible.
Now. 2005, more than 95% of every call that goes into Centrelink, they're just using those voice prints to confirm that the people is who they said they were. I think that's great.
I think it sounds absolutely fantastic. Again, thank you for shedding some light on an area of technological mystery for us. Appreciate it.
Pleasure, Will. Anytime. Have a good
one. IT commentator Stilgherrian, or you can check out his website and see his work on a whole range of issues on IT security all over the internet. Just give him a Google. Randall at Prospects called in on this issue. G'day, Randall.
How are you going, Will?
Well, mate.
I've a couple of times had issues with various companies, and you always get that pre-recording saying that you'll be recorded. And I've told the people I've got through to that I'm recording them to use back at a later date, and I've twice been told it's illegal to record them.
But you've told them. I suppose they can hang up.
Yeah, well, basically that's what one woman said. If you keep recording this, I'll hang up. So I said, all right, click, it's off.
Yeah.
But why is it they're allowed to record me, but I'm not allowed to record them?
Well, by warning you, you're you not hanging up, I think the court would interpret that you're giving your consent.
Yeah.
So you're giving them the same, affording them the same courtesy. So,
yeah,
I mean, don't take my legal advice though, Randall, but that's the way I would say it. Good on you, mate.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks for that. In fact, on Randall's point, a text just come through. This is interesting. So when debt collectors call and say this call is being recorded, are we at liberty to end the call or just say they're not allowed to? Well, my understanding of the law would be that you're at liberty to end the call. I mean, it can't be. You have to consent to that. Interesting. Because some very good points, though. And it's fascinating to think this has been going on in Australia now for a long time.